This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, guys, great to join you. Great to join you on what looks to be a beautiful day, although I don't know how long it's going to last this week.
Yeah, that's what they tell us. Man, we had a really, really nice weekend, and then looks like typical weather in the South. The skies are going to open up for 3 or 4, maybe 5 days here with us. Chris, it was kind of the yin and the yang this weekend with LSU. You get rained out on the Friday, and you had an opportunity, but, man, wasn't this weekend all about pitching? And what we saw with Ianson, that's the best I've ever seen him pitch. The very best. Basically, no hiccups along the way. And sometimes with him, you sort of see a little bit of that somewhere during the game. He didn't have any of that. But really, it came down to A&M really stifled the bats of LSU this weekend. That's why they come out winning 2 of 3.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I think all three games, just based on, you know, when you watched it, you realize this was a pitching dominant weekend, and really by both staffs. I mean, again, just runs at a premium, and, you know, that's kind of an overused cliche, certainly in baseball. But, I mean, when you look around the SEC most weekends, Mike, you're going to see, you know, some pretty high scoring affairs. The one that comes to mind this weekend, Florida won 22-3 over South Carolina. So, you know, typically you'll see a pitcher's duel most of the time on Friday. Occasionally you'll get one on game two. And then you see the offense open up a little bit more, you know, in game three. It's hard to have that type of pitching for three straight games. But, you know, credit, to be honest with you, both of these teams, while A&M would score 6 runs yesterday to come from behind to win 6-4, I mean, it wasn't easy. And when I look back to this series, I kind of felt this way coming off the Tennessee series, but it felt even more this way, Mike, that every single pitch in all three games had so much value to it. I mean, everybody was on the edge of their seat for every pitch and for every at bat. And that goes to show you, I mean, how good the pitchers were. And, you know, deservedly so, Anthony Ianson named SEC Pitcher of the Week. I don't think there's any question about that. A complete game victory in this day and age of college baseball is rare. And, you know, in fact, I've seen 2 this season, and I think that's the most I've ever seen in 1 year at the Division I level over the last 10 years. So it doesn't happen often. So kudos to Anthony. Certainly deserved the award, deserved to help his team win the one game in College Station. And I'll say this, I said it going into the weekend, 2 teams that I still think are pretty dangerous, although they got off to horrible starts this year. Texas A&M is one, Florida is the other. And the Gators certainly, you know, beat the tar out of the Gamecocks at home this weekend. And again, A&M's a very good team with a very good lineup. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they really have turned the corner to see this team for the Aggies go pretty deep this year.
Chris, one of the things, we had Coach Johnson on Thursday afternoon, and I was talking to Jay about this, that, you know, when you lose a star player like who they lost early in the season, and I mean, he was a stud for them, I think it's not so much the earthquake as the aftershock event of how you deal with it. And I thought they had some difficulties early on replacing a guy that was kind of really difficult to replace. This next man up stuff, that's for the birds, because there ain't no man there that's as good as he was or even in his zip code. And but they were able to get out of it and figuring out another way to win. And it's funny what you just said about every pitch, every play. That's exactly what Jay Johnson said Thursday. You're playing in the SEC. It's every pitch, every ground ball, every fly ball. There's not a lot of room for error here. And I think you saw that in full display this weekend. But I think A&M now has got some firm footing because they were basically, Chris, I think everybody had them. I've got two different magazines in front of me. Both of them picked A&M to not only win the SEC, but to win the national title this year. And but, man, it was a real struggle. And it does go to show you, when you lose a superstar player, it's that next man up theory doesn't quite work. You have to figure out another way to win. And I give the rookie coach a lot of credit for getting them to that level.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, again, you know, you look back at their early conference start, and they were horrible. I mean, it was, I mean, we were all scratching our heads because we saw the roster prior to the season. I think many of us thought, okay, you got a first-time head coach, been around some great programs, been around some great coaches, so you know he's going to be good. How good will he be in year one? Well, it's going to help that he's got a pretty good-looking roster. You know, a lot of those guys that were on that team last year, you know, one game away from, you know, winning the national title, they didn't leave. As many as you would think. There was a lot of guys who stood up. They wanted Coach Early to get the job. They made that well known. And then they put their money where their mouth was, and they suited back up for the Aggies. The problem was you lost, as you mentioned, some really key contributors, not only on the mound, but there were times they were without, you know, some really big at-bats, as well as, you know, they had to move a lot of guys around in the field, both the outfield and infield. And they really suffered a lot of defensive errors. And the funny thing is, if you go back and look at their schedule, And you just look at wins and losses to start the season, what you need to do is dig a little deeper and realize how many games in the eighth or ninth inning that Texas A&M still had a chance to pull it off. And it just didn't go their way in a number of games that would have decided either a sweep or not a sweep or a series win or a series loss. And so now over the last 4 weekends, I mean, you're talking about going to Knoxville, taking 2 of 3 from Tennessee, going to Arkansas, who just swept Texas, and winning 2 of 3 in Fayetteville, and then losing 3 games to Texas in Austin in a high rivalry game in low scoring affairs, all by 1 run. So again, I don't think a lot of people were super surprised at how well Texas A&M played. I think there's more of a concern on, you know, were those the best pitchers LSU has seen in SEC play? My thought would be no. And taking nothing away from them, they were effective. But are they the most highly sought after? Are they the most talked about? No. So to me, LSU's offense, I think, is probably the biggest takeaway from the weekend is, you know, we said it, they got up early 2-0 yesterday, which is great. They got up 4-2. But there was just kind of this feeling in the back of your head that, you know, typically in a game 3, 2 runs ain't going to do it. And frankly, 4 runs ain't going to do it. And, you know, I think that's where LSU is. Now, I say that coming off 2 games like the run rule victory over Tennessee 12-2 and then the 15-2 run rule victory over a very good Southeastern team during the midweek. So, yeah, they're there, but is the consistency there? And now you're looking at 2 more SEC weekends with a very hot Arkansas team coming in. And then you've got to go to South Carolina. Then you've got to go to Hoover. Then you're going to see where you are when a regional comes along. And that's where offensive consistency in this sport, like in any, is just so important, because once you get beyond that, you know, unless you're in the double elimination round, you know, your season can come to an end very quickly.
You know, Texas A&M, Chris, after a 1-9 start in SEC play, 9-5 in their last 14, as you mentioned, taking 3 series from top 2 ranked opponents, you know, ranked with Tennessee and then Arkansas and now LSU. But I see a lot of panic, right, from LSU fans. And my one thing, and I know it's really stupid to say this in hindsight, you're 4 outs away from winning the series at Bluebell Park when you don't play your best ball, especially offensively, as you mentioned. And, I mean, it was the people that were criticizing Jay Johnson for taking out Chase Shores and going to Connor Ware in that situation in the bottom of the 8th inning, with two outs. I mean, Jace LaViolette, it worked. It worked. He just got a swinging bunt, and Michael Braswell wasn't able to get it in time. It was, you know, any other day, it could have been an out. And you're out of that inning without having to go to Zach Allen, where he gives up the three-run shot. But you are so, so close to a weekend series victory at Bluebell Park against a red-hot A&M team. You can throw away, you know, their weekend series sweep at Texas, because all three of those games, one run, could go either way. It's a team that, once you're looking into regional play, because they're going to get there at this point. They have Missouri this upcoming weekend. They're going to reach that 13-win threshold at this point. They're going to be a 2 or a 3 seed in a regional that no host wants to see. So my message to LSU fans is just relax. This upcoming weekend against Arkansas is massively important, but don't panic about losing 2 or 3 against a red-hot Texas A&M team.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's any reason, and frankly, I can say with good assurity that there's no panic button in the building over at baseball. They just don't believe in it. And Jay Johnson certainly doesn't feel that way. And to be honest, I mean, yeah, everybody wants to beat Texas A&M. I get it. I mean, you want to win every game, and certainly I want to win every game. But it's just not doable. You know, when you look at the SEC this year and you look at some teams where you say, well, okay, they're playing so-and-so and they're playing at home or they're playing on the road, I know who's going to win this. The truth is you don't. That's, again, no disrespect to Missouri, but the 15 teams in the SEC can beat any of the others on any given day. It's just, that's just the way it is. And that's what makes the SEC as good, because when you're in the upper echelon of the SEC, that means you've won the majority of your games. And if you can do that in this league, you're going to play pretty well against anybody else you're matched up against, the ACC or the Big Ten or the Big 12 or you name it. And that's what they're all working for. So, no, I understand the thought to reach for the panic button. But I would assure you that, again, when you look at the overall record and then you dig into the offensive statistics, is this a low point? Was this weekend a low point? Yeah. Was the Auburn weekend a low point? Yeah. But those are the valleys. I think, are there more peaks than valleys? That's what I look at in a 56-game regular season. And I think, without question, LSU's had way more peaks than valleys.
Chris, when you said that, it reminded me of something Skip Bertman told me years ago. You know how many times I've been fired by fans? but you had to hear Skip say it. He was really good at it. It's like, man, the fans, you know, you win a national title, they still want to run you off. So he says, hey, you know, I do what I do. And, you know, he said, no knock against them, but if they were in that position, you know, if you had the talent, you'd be where I am. But it was typical Skip about saying that. One thing that I've heard Jay Johnson say from almost the moment he was at LSU, and he's come on his program numerous times, he's always talked well about opponents. If it was Texas A&M, if it was Texas, if it was Florida or Auburn, even Georgia now, certainly resurgence with Wes Johnson. You know what one team he has really talked it up about? Arkansas. Every year, he speaks about that program and what they do and doing things the right way. Now, they haven't won a national title. They were, you know, pop fly drop from winning one, but he has always praised the Razorbacks. And so looking at this weekend, the keys here for a victory, and I know for a team, when a coach says that about another team, man, he got a lot of respect for what's happening at Arkansas.
Yeah, and I mean, you should. I mean, you know, Dave Van Horn is an institution, and, you know, again, as in most sports, you're as a head coach and even as players, I mean, you're certainly always going to be judged. Those who win national titles or championships are always kind of in a different level, if you will. And again, that would be the only way you would have anything not positive to say about Arkansas baseball. I mean, that has been a perennial winner. They put up 40 win seasons, you know, year after year after year, and they're no different this year. And, you know, I think a lot of that was, you know, Jay's first season here at LSU. It was a big eye opener, and I'll remember it very clearly. We went up there and struggled mightily in Fayetteville against a team that was 3 times bigger, stronger, and faster than LSU was in 2022. And that stuck in the mind of Jay Johnson. And he realized really quickly then what it takes. You've got to have a team that looks like that. And, you know, I think when you look at the 23 team and 24, and certainly from a size standpoint alone, you know, when you've got, I don't know how many pitchers on this team that are over 6'4", and you've got, you know, Jared Jones and you've got Ethan Frye. I mean, all of these guys are incredible athletes with a lot of size and power and speed. I mean, I don't know if you asked him now if he would point out that that was the game, but I know that he and I talked about that a lot after that series in 2022. So, yeah, I think that's why whenever anybody talks about Arkansas or talks about the strength of this league, one of the first programs that Jay's going to mention is going to be the Razorbacks. And again, I completely agree. There's a good reason for that.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Always enjoy when you're coming on. And for so many people who – come on, they old school a certain age, or maybe you're traveling. Man, they got that dial tuned into the Big 870. Listen to Chris Blair on the call. So, man, I hear it so many times. People, man, tell Chris when you see him. Man, he does a great job. You know, he gets me through some long travels and stuff like that. So I want to pass that along to you.
Well, I can tell you right now, Mike, thank you very much. And for a guy who grew up in the radio business, it's still a thrill to know that I'm heard on 870. Wow.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, buddy. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers.